Finley Toyota Studio. It's Cofield and Company.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Plus 500 in the rain!
Didn't I tell you it was finger-licking good?
I don't know why everyone doesn't do this. Maybe they have something against living forever.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, partying.
Well, it's Rebecca Black. Nice song, lady. Really capturing the mood right now. Now we need pick-me-ups, so thank you, Rebecca.
Do we?
I think most people do. Yep. You're perpetually sad. By the way, where's your mic shield?
John took it. That's what Ari said.
Do we just go to break and get him one?
John, we're fine.
No, we're not.
Who else uses this microphone?
Everyone! That's the point!
No.
See, this is the guy who's not taking it seriously.
I am taking it seriously.
Where is your mic shield? You were given a mic shield.
John has it.
I tried.
Because you left it.
Yeah, on my
safety.
Microphone.
Tried to have your back.
By the way, you're using the same exact mic that Matt Heumann just used.
Yeah, we sprayed it.
I don't know if spraying it gets it done.
I watch every CDC press conference.
The lack of responsibility. This is why Governor Sisolak had to speak again today, because people aren't listening. We'll get to what Governor Sisolak talked about. We'll also talk about the latest moves in the NFL. Man, if you're a kid out there, like you're whatever, I'll go as low as like 9. If you're listening as a 9-year-old, first of all, the language on the show is not great, and nor is the subject matter, so you right. may want to talk to your parents about listening. But if you're 9 to like 16 and your parents have allowed you to play running back, like you're a running back prospect, go and punch them. No more running back. You go play defensive back. Running back is a waste based on what we're seeing today. All right, they're making some money. But Gurley and Gordon, what a message sent by the NFL.
It's time for the three. Presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
Well, these are really thorny times because we've got a lot of people who have been forced out of work. We've got a lot of people sitting home, bored as hell, facing at least, you know, 25 plus days of not getting out of the house, the apartment. By the way, thank you to Lotus Broadcasting for allowing us to do shows.
Yeah.
Because frankly, I know a lot of media outlets that have laid people off. So, you know, if they want, they could just go, hey, we're not going to make as much money. You're all done. Maybe permanently. I don't sure. know. So I'm thankful that we have a chance to do shows and entertain you guys. But really started thinking about like what's essential and what's not. I don't know that we're essential, but and I'm not going to flaunt it. I'll get into a case later on where I think media people are flaunting it. But what's essential, what's not essential, and like clearly there's some confusion, and I don't even have an answer.
No.
But from Governor Sisolak at 1:30, he started to drop the hammer again. What did he say? What does it mean?
He said, well, basically the other day, and we talked about this, and we talked about it with Justin Watkins when he was in the other day. Sisolak made a proclamation about the casinos because that was an easy one that the state controls to say casinos must close down. And then he made a very important distinction. Other non-essential businesses should close down. He said they should. There was no direct order. There was no, you know, you have to do this. There's no penalty. And he saw too many businesses that weren't.
Now, here's the thing.
So here's the thing.
Just on this whole essential, non-essential, because I'm not here to decide what is, because I'm not, again, I don't know if we are, so I'm not going to scream and yell like, hey, you guys shouldn't be doing radio. Maybe you're right. I do know this, though, that if you were pushing back and mocking it and saying you're essential, like if you're a gentleman's club,
yeah,
you didn't help the situation. So you just screwed a lot more people. You thought it was funny for a couple of days, but that didn't help. And I think that's one of the things that was spotlighted that probably got Governor Sisolak to the point where he's like, all right, well, clearly now people think this is a joke.
Sure.
I've got to do more.
And a certain video game chain as well. With the same thing, kind of flaunting it a little bit and rubbing it in people's faces like, yeah, we're essential, we're staying open. I think that that got to him, and he was like, all right, enough of this. And you're right, when you're not only staying open, but you're outwardly like pushing it and mocking it and saying, hey, this is what we're going to do, that got the attention. And so today it was a emergency declaration that was signed and said, not only are they suggested to close, if you're not a central business, you must close, and there could be penalties. Now, the trick to this is local governments are kind of in charge of enforcement, and we know that certain local governments have been much lighter about this than others. So I think there are certain municipalities where it's like, okay, maybe we test it, maybe we don't. Maybe we don't think our government is going to, you know, is going to raise such a big deal about it. So we'll see how businesses react. And if those that are, say, in, let's just randomly say, the city of Las Vegas borders decide, you know what, our local government might not be as stringent about this.
So that is a hell of an angle, since Mayor Goodman has been pushing back and fighting Governor Sisolak. I wonder if she'll come out and say it, and then we'll really have... We were talking about legal battles potentially between the mayor and the governor. If she openly defies this and orders, she can't order, but says, hey, you know what? You decide if you're essential and you can stay open.
Yeah. I think White Pine County as well has kind of been like, ah, we're good.
Really?
Yeah. So I think there's certain municipalities that, you know, maybe they test it. Now, in the end, after it's all over, and I talked to some local business people, say, in the Gentlemen's Club world, who said, you know what? If you want to stay open and flaunt it and talk about it, you'll probably make some good money and you'll probably do some good business and it's good advertisement. But when everything is back to normal, there is going to be a target on you from regulators and just trying to find some reason to close you down. So why do it? Why risk it? And so that is, I think, the question that businesses will have to try to answer. Like, hey, maybe you say, hey, we're not going to get in that much trouble. Nobody's going to do anything to us. But you may have repercussions to pay down the road if you decide to defy orders like this. And, you know, on the – just real quick, I know you don't want to get too much into on the media thing. The reason that media is essential is, as Governor Sisolak said, there is so – especially in this era – so much misinformation in the world on the internet, and people start believing it. There is an essential role of media to provide real information and real details. And
I agree with that.
Also to entertain.
No, I agree with that. I think there are certain essential things about the media. Other stuff I'm seeing reported, and I'll put it in air quotes, is not essential, but we'll hit on that later on. Ari has been saddened a bit by the quarantining, limited time at work, the whole deal with the coronavirus, and I feel like we haven't gotten the normal bevy of national days. Right. At least maybe they haven't been very good, and I've skimmed over them because he sends that to us every day. But this one, as it turns out, I was really happy, and then I was like, oh, no, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Today is National Ravioli Day, if I can say it correctly, Ravioli Day, except we're in, this is of minimal importance compared to the virus, but we're in the great pasta shortage of the 21st century.
Right. That is,
I can't find pasta anywhere, and I'm sure smart people scooped up the freaking ravioli. So on National Ravioli Day, I suppose I can try for a few hours to make my own. I don't think I can. So we might be out on our ears on National Ravioli Day.
I told you there was one box of pasta down at the grocery store right around the corner from us. Like, you might want to go grab that one. That could be a suitable replacement.
Yeah.
There was one box left in the entire store.
Yeah, you pitched it. It sounded really yummy.
It was I think it was made from bean product. Yeah. And it was a whole wheat, gluten-free, like, fettuccine.
Man, we've had some... The SO will try to go healthy, and we've had a couple of times where I think she's gotten, like, black bean pasta.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
That look.
It doesn't work. And I'm an animal. I'll eat anything, but there's something about the consistency. You're like, this does not pass as pasta. Brown rice pasta I can do.
Solid.
But bean pasta.
It was funny. Like, it was funny that was the only thing there. Now, you can order. Pick up somewhere if you need to get your ravioli fix.
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm sure somebody is making it. You can do a takeout or a delivery.
Ooh. It's good. Well, I will support a local business by getting a slew of ravioli.
But just in a time when you're not allowed to do anything and you're just completely sedentary, pasta probably a good idea.
Really nothing I'm eating right now is a good idea.
Okay.
I had a fleeting thought today of salad, but it was fleeting.
Yeah.
I'm not
in and out.
Well, we have some. So you know how I am. I don't want to waste any food now. Yeah. So anything that's perishable, I'm trying to eat. I'm overeating, though. It's bad. I'm not trying to flaunt it in the face of people who have had trouble getting food. I got to calm down.
No, but it is an incredibly weird phenomenon that you're doing less, so you probably should be less hungry. But I feel like everybody is saying the same thing. I noticed it yesterday that you're sitting around the house all day. Yesterday was the first day that I've been in the house
in years.
In years?
Yep. I told you this was going to be the most difficult for you out of everyone on the show.
Yeah.
You're never at home.
I'm usually home 6 hours a day total. And it's all sleeping,
yeah.
And so it's so weird to do this. But then I usually also, I don't eat until dinner, ever. And now it's I wake up, I'm like, all right, where's the food? Let's go.
Now you're a breakfast guy.
It's so weird. Yeah. It's incredibly weird because you would think that you don't really burn anything, so you would not want to eat, but you're just sitting around oh, let's eat more.
National Ravioli Day. Excited, humble, and hungry. We all have something in common, maybe not the humble part, with Tom Brady. That was his message today. If there's one thing I've learned about football, it's that nobody cares about what you did last year, the year before that. You earn the trust and respect of those around you through your commitment every single day. I'm starting a new football journey and thankful for the at Buccaneers for giving me an opportunity to do what I love. I look forward to meeting all my new teammates and coaches and proving to them that they can believe and trust in me. I've always believed that well done is better than well said. Oh, I thought he was going down a dangerous path there. So I'm not going to say much more. I'm just going to get to work.
Until you mentioned the Buccaneers, I thought that was a ravioli tweet. He's going to discuss National Ravioli Day.
It's official. It's official. He signed his deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I saw. How long before you think he starts to regret it? Or at least second guess?
Oh, I think it's going to be well into the season because I think the offseason he's going to be really excited. And he's probably going to get to bring in a couple of buddies, not AB, but buddies along for the ride. So that'll make him happy too.
Yeah, he'll probably get happier, but I just feel like at some point it's gonna be an off-season meeting, and he's like, "Yeah, this is different. I don't know about this. This is weird."
Oh, it's gonna be different.
Yeah,
no doubt. Tweet yesterday from ESPN. ESPN presents a 7-hour Tom Brady marathon, highlighting it 7-hour. What? 7-hour marathon for Tom Brady. Someone retweeted that, and apparently it blew up pretty well. What'd you say on Twitter?
I said, I don't care if I'm stuck in my house for 38 years. I am not watching this. And I am not. And I thought it was just a throwaway. It got a lot of traction. I don't know why. I guess people were just kind of in the same mood. I don't want to watch Brady over and over again. I'm stuck in the house. I want uplifting. This is awful.
Well, quarterbacks still get paid, most of them. We're going to cover the angles of the quarterbacks who may not get paid and may not have a job. Brady got 2 years and $50 million plus incentives. Running backs, go back to the beginning of last year, even as Todd Gurley seemed to be fading a bit. Think about this. Two of the top seven running backs entering last season were basically let go in the last couple of days and had to scrounge for a new job. We'll update you on both Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon.
The Three is brought to you by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to receive a $500 coupon towards your appraisal or any purchase or refinance. Dial up Dustin now. 577-2600. Now, back to Cofield and Company.
They were pretty similar running backs last year. Devontae Freeman, though, had a lot more catches, but Todd Gurley had a lot more carries inside the 5-yard line. Listen to this. According to Pro Football Reference, Todd Gurley had 12 carries inside the 5-yard line. The Falcons as a team had 11, and Devontae Freeman had 1.
My Corona, stop it. Don't be manic. Go inside. No organic. Oh, no. All GMO. Jesus Christ. Now I panic. I'll die. My Corona.
Out of toilet paper.
Wow, the humorless Adam Hill even chuckling at my Corona.
I'm chuckling at the ridiculousness.
Yeah.
I actually did see a tweet from Weird Al a month and a half ago, and he said, stop asking, there is no way I will ever do my Corona.
Got beat to the punch.
So somebody else was like, okay, you're not doing it, I'll do it.
Come on, Weird Al. We have all these other celebrities singing for us. Everyone's really, really enjoying it. We'll get to that. Choose your fate at four. We've got one of the options is that whole Imagine kerfuffle that went down yesterday. So Todd Gurley has a new team. That was quick. Melvin Gordon has a new team. Todd Gurley, cut by the Rams, has landed with the Falcons. Sense of humor yesterday tweeted out, damn, I got fired on my day off.
Did you get the reference?
What movie?
Friday.
Okay. And then he hashtagged quarantine and chill. Missing an N.
It's close.
He is 25.
That is insane. Insane.
He's 25 and he's being thrown on the trash heap, which is a hell of a story for running backs. And we've seen this building. That was a cut from the CBS Fantasy crew. Listen to him here talking about Todd Gurley going to the Falcons. Devontae Freeman got cut, and they seem to be making the suggestion that, yeah, there's some positives, but really there's not much of an upgrade from Devontae Freeman, we think, up to Todd Gurley.
The number one running back, the number six running back, and about the number 13 running back in 1 year where he played 14 games, was really more like 13 games because he left with an injury. So they have a history. This is a good landing spot. They have a history of giving their lead running back a lot of goal line work and a lot of catches. I'm not excited because it's Todd Gurley, and I'm starting to think that he's just never going to be the player we saw before.
Yeah, he was talking about Freeman at the beginning, that Freeman had been super effective, but they like using their running backs in Atlanta. And then here's a Gurley prediction from a fantasy standpoint, what kind of numbers he could put up, and then what the other guys think of where he should be drafted.
Let's go with 215 carries, right around 900 rushing yards, 40 to 50 receptions, right around 300 receiving yards, so 1,200 total yards, and 8 touchdowns.
I'll take the under.
I think if you're taking him in round 3, you're buying into upside. And for somebody like Todd Gurley, with what we saw last year, I can't do that. I might take him with the last pick in round 4. That might be the absolute soonest point I would take Todd Gurley.
In 15 games last year, just a little over 1,000 total yards, 14 touchdowns. So touchdowns were saving grace for him.
Incredible. Not the numbers at the end there, but no. That a guy 2 years ago who was, you know, by far the number one or two pick in every fantasy football draft, as I said, is now thrown on the trash heap, and now he's like the 17th rated running back.
Yeah, when they were starting to talk about that, I was like, round 5, that's about a round 5 guy for me.
Won't happen in most leagues.
No, well, you think people overreact and take him early?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
He's got a name.
Yeah, and I mean, but the role. I think there's a question of what the role is, and what are they bringing him in for? What do they want to use him for? Do they want to make him a guy that is a 3-down guy? I don't think so. I think they want to, you know, they want to kind of split there. So, yeah, he's a guy that I think the numbers will be down, but I think that might help his effectiveness to play a little bit less. We already saw them managing carries and load managing in LA.
Todd Gurley, Falcons. Apparently, the Dolphins had some interest. They should be interested because their running back core. Well, they gave up on one guy, dealt him for nothing, in Kenyon Drake, who you loved. Yeah. And then they settled on a guy at the end of the season, dude from Miami, and then he basically got a little violent. Got a little violent away from the field, and is probably out of the league for a long time, if not forever, unless I missed a signing, but I don't think he signed. So with Gurley now on a one-year deal, Melvin Gordon didn't do much better. He got 2 years, $16 million, $13.5 guaranteed. This is a guy who wanted a long-term deal. That's never happening again. In the rarest of cases, it can happen. But, man, the league has sent the message. But Melvin Gordon in the division to the Broncos.
Yeah.
And, like I said, he gets 13.5 guaranteed. Guy's been productive. Buccaneers and Bills apparently were in on him.
Yeah, they were trying. The Bills want to add running back depth. And I know that there was you know, some speculation that was a possibility with both Gurley and Gordon to Buffalo. So I know that, you know, fans were kind of pushing for that a little bit, but we will see what these contracts end up being. Is Zeke the last of the long-term deals? Because there's a really interesting one on the horizon, a couple interesting ones on the horizon with Barkley and McCaffrey.
What's your prediction on both of those guys? Will they get a Zeke-like deal?
McCaffrey will.
And here's the thing. They can get it, but like Barkley already had a pretty serious injury.
That's exactly what I mean.
If either one of them have any injury this year, like there's any doubt about them, their production goes down just a little bit, they're cooked.
And that's the thing we also talk about with running backs. Barkley already diminished his value because of the injury. Not he didn't do anything. He got hurt. McCaffrey is the fascinating one because he's the one we always talk about. They have him on a rookie deal. They are abusing him. They are abusing him in Carolina. It is insane. I mean, I love it because I've had him in a couple of keeper leagues. He's been my number one fantasy guy for a while. I had him number one last year when everybody else had him number three or four. I had him number one. I think mostly because not only his production, but they give him the ball every single play. So, and then when it's contract time, what are they going to say? A lot of wear and tear, man.
Yep.
A lot of wear and tear. And that's the dilemma these running backs face, and it really sucks.
In three seasons, McCaffrey has 926 rushes and receptions. And he was also targeted another 76 times in the air.
Right. Yeah, and then when it's contract time, I don't know, man. A lot of wear on those tires. I don't know. You did it!
Yep.
What do you mean? You did that! Now I'm abused, and I'm used because of you giving me the ball too much?
I read through the highlights of the CBA. Did the new CBA do anything to protect young players?
Not really.
Shouldn't that have been one of the things they were really concerned about, that you're not effed on a rookie contract for your first 4 years, and if you're a running back? Think about what you just said. Go back to Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley's 25. Trash heap. You're already worried about the Panthers employing the, hey, he's used up. Christian McCaffrey was in the league at 21. He's 23.
Yeah.
And they're already going to go, you're old.
Of course they are. Not old. There's a difference between
you're worn.
Old and worn. And he is worn. He's 23 and he's worn.
Listen,
he's going to still be great. But I'm telling you, when it's contract time, and I think he will get a deal, especially because guys like him and Barkley are so unique in they can be running backs, they can also be receivers. They're three-down guys. There's not a whole lot of three-down guys left in the NFL, at least teams that or guys that teams will allow to be three down guys. So they're a very unique situation. They have the best chances, but these like the Zeke deal is going to be an absolute unicorn.
Pretty amazing. On the way back, we're going to try to track down one of the Golden Knights, Zach Whitecloud, right around the corner. It's brought to you by Insperity for employee benefits and full service HR support. Visit Insperity.com.
ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, Raiders on three. One, two, three.
Raiders.
Home of the Raiders fan. You're listening to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Been fortunate all week to be talking to some of the folks around the Vegas Golden Knights. Got Shane Knighty on yesterday, Mike McKenna earlier in the week, and the announcers around the team are just like the rest of us. We're lucky to be working every day. Thank you, Lotus Broadcasting. But because there's no hockey, those guys are hanging out at home. Knighty was funny yesterday because he was talking about trying to stay in shape, which is not easy for anyone, and also that he likes to throw back a few.
Yes, he does.
But he cut out beer.
Ooh, for this or just in general?
In general.
I think you go back to it, don't you?
He doesn't want to be a fat ass.
Wow, I think in times like this, it's just time to throw it out the window.
You know, if you think about it, it's actually the opposite. Because this is something I will always lean on, and I see people do it all the time. When you see celebrities, especially movie stars, and they're all yoked up, or, you know, some female celebrity gets pregnant, right? And then she's like freaking, it seems like a month later, like she's down to her pre-weight.
Right.
And you're like, well, instead of going, hey, pat on the back, nice working out real hard. It's like, well, if I had all the time in the world to work out, if I could work out every day, you do now.
But you can't go to the gym.
You can run. go to what? Freaking go Herschel Walker mode. You don't need a gym. Hey, 1,000 sit-ups today. Go run around the yard.
It's tough to find the motivation.
Funny, I don't hear that excuse. I don't hear that excuse anymore.
Of course
not. I don't have time. You do. Everyone, I do.
Everyone has plenty of time now. I mean, I don't, but 99.99% of people. This is worse, but I think we got time. And yesterday was the day. I was like, I'm just at home. I did.
Yeah, you were bored as hell yesterday, huh?
I was trying to find anything to do, but I actually think I was writing until like 7 a.m., but I found stuff. I had to get up and like find stuff around the house, like do something, throw the ball against the stairs, or like I could not do anything.
This weekend should be National Clean Out Your House weekend.
Yep.
Everyone should have a freaking...
The one counter to that?
Spotless, whatever. Kitchen, garage, whatever your spare rooms are.
The one counter is you're going to do it at the beginning of this? Then what are you going to do next weekend? I think the last weekend of this should
no,
be
no, no.
Clean out your house.
First of all, we don't know when the last weekend is. Secondly, I'll just tell you, I'm a hoarder. So
true.
I have so much stuff to clean out, so many areas to clean out. It's insane.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll find out what some of the Golden Knights are doing, and we turn to Zach Whitecloud, defenseman for the Golden Knights, who joins us right now. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Just hanging out, watching some TV.
Well, there you go. There's plenty of that I want to get into for sure, but were you, when if I remember correctly, were you still living in a hotel?
No, I had my own place.
Okay, that's good. Because I remember some of the guys were kind of in and out of hotels, and I was wondering what the logistics of that would be. But good to know that you're out of there. What, I guess, how are you spending your days? There's only so much TV you can watch, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you try to split it up as much as you can and try to put your attention towards other things and kind of mix it up. But spending a lot of time on my phone, unfortunately, and just watching some TV, and that's about it.
I know that you are a bachelor guy. We don't have to get too deep into that, but is there anything else you found that you could recommend for us right now?
I actually got into I downloaded an HBO membership, so I started watching the Chernobyl series, which is actually really super interesting, and then I kind of switched it over to Ballers for a bit.
All right, well, we are obsessed with Ballers, but isn't Chernobyl is great? It's a great show.
Kind of morbid and depressing.
Yeah, at this time, don't we need more uplifting viewing?
Yeah, but I mean, that was one of the first things that a lot of people told me to watch on HBO, so I gave it a shot.
Okay. Maybe people will get back into that as well. Ballers, did you just discover it, or is that something you're getting back into?
That's something I discovered a long time ago, but I never had an HBO membership, so I didn't really get a chance to fully dive into it, and I'm have more than enough time to kind of get through it now. So,
gotcha. Well, Zach Whitecloud of the Golden Knights here with us. What was last week just kind of like? Everything was changing so quickly. What was your thought process? What was going on in your mind with everything changing every day?
Well, I mean, you just said it, right? I mean, everything's changing every single day, right? And you just try to kind of keep up with what's happening day to day and make sure that you're obviously taking care of yourself and doing my part to, self-quarantine and things like that, and make sure that I'm keeping myself and others healthy. And just making sure you stay safe and look after yourself and just kind of stay up to date with, the things that are happening around the world. Just do your best to keep everyone safe, including yourself. So,
we know all this is for the safety of society, and it's for everybody's benefit to be going through this. But for you personally to have to stop a season where everything was going pretty well, you guys are playing well, going toward the playoffs, and then all of a sudden the season shuts down. Is that frustrating to have to try to deal with?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's frustrating for all the teams, right? And but at the end of the day, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like a bad thing. This is a bigger, important thing, right? Than compared to hockey, right? This is the entire world having to come together as, one big team, right? And we're all working towards the same thing, and that's keeping everyone healthy and looking after ourselves and making sure that we put our health first. No, that's what we have to do is come together as, an entire society and make sure that we take care of, the things at hand, right? And obviously that comes at a cost, right? But in order to look after those things, you got to pause the season and make sure that everyone's safe and healthy, right? So,
yeah. Well, this season has been, such a whirlwind for everybody. But for you, now that you have a little bit of a break here and you have really a lot of time to think, have you kind of analyzed how the season has gone for you so far and how you felt about it?
Yeah. I mean, it obviously provides time to think and reflect as I guess I would say, and not only reflect, but I mean look forward to possibilities and things like that, and keep a clear mind. And but as far as reflection goes, I mean obviously I joined more into the season with the team, but as far as when I joined, I mean we were playing great hockey and we're winning games and winning crucial points going down that stretch and heading towards the end of the regular season, and that's the time you have to be playing your best hockey, and I think we were playing some really really good hockey and buying into what Coach DeBoer had brought in and playing the right way and taking care of the 2 points at hand every night and doing our best to buy in and get the job done every night heading down that stretch. So
that is the voice of Zach Whitecloud, young defenseman for the Vegas Golden Knights, joining us here on the show. Well, we don't know when we're going to get hockey again. We don't know when we're going to get sports again, and we're all kind of eagerly anticipating. But how difficult will it be to kind of stay in shape through this process?
I mean, obviously, there's different challenges, right? And you obviously want to look after yourself, but at the same time, you want to make sure that you're doing your part to, stay as self-quarantined as possible and essentially just do your part, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, you gotta be a pro about it and make sure that you're eating right and obviously it's not too tough to get proper rest. That's something that you can really focus on and just making sure that you're taking care of your body and just being prepared to just getting your body ready for whenever that time comes, right? So whether that's diets or getting away from the game mentally and physically and coming back sharper. So
you mentioned the self-quarantine there. What was most important for you to stock up on to have in your house for this?
I mean, for me, probably water and snacks. I'm a big snack guy. I like to kind of break it up throughout the day. So, obviously as everyone's kind of seen within, the markets, it's obviously a lot of, household items like lice, like cleaning wipes and disinfectants and toilet paper and paper towel and things like that are, clearing shelves and things like that. But I mean, that's as far as for myself, I just try to kind of limit it a bit so that there's enough for others and make sure that I don't overstock, I guess, as I guess it's called. So.
It's a very responsible outlook. You're not out there fighting for toilet paper then?
No, I mean, I've spoken with my friends back home about this, and it's the same situation back in Brandon, Manitoba, small town. And in Manitoba, there's in the grocery stores, there's a lot of empty aisles that, have, whether it has paper towel, cleaning supplies, or it's canned goods or pasta or anything like that. The way I spoke with a friend about it, and we both agreed that if people are overstocking, right, there isn't enough for those who truly need it, and obviously that's part of us doing our part as well, is not overstocking or panic stocking. I think a lot of people have referred to it, and making sure that there's enough for everyone to have resources to have in their homes to again do their part to self quarantine and make sure that they're looking after themselves, in turn, looking after other people, right? And that means being out less in the public and things like that. No, I mean, you don't want to overstock too much, right? Because you want to leave enough resources for other people out there that, need the exact same things. So,
what was the most important snack, though?
Ooh, that's a great question. I am a big fan of carrots and hummus, actually. So I stocked up on a couple of those and couple of eggs and carrots to try and keep it a little bit healthier while this is going on. So
that's not fun. That's too healthy.
It's weird. Professional hockey player versus me. My staples are ice cream sandwiches, cookies, and Doritos. So you can see why my body type's a little different than Zach's.
Yeah, I can't. That's the bad thing about those. If I buy them, I'll eat them. So I've kind of dialed in my shopping habits and made sure that I don't even venture down those aisles at all. So,
no, younger Zach Whitecloud, though, might have gone for the snacks, right?
Oh, 100% I would have.
you weren't always an elite level athlete. I know we've talked about this before, but Steve might be interested to know that in the audience.
Yeah, give us a background.
Yeah, maybe not the most elite athlete growing up, Zach.
No, not at all. I mean, even in college, I wasn't an elite athlete, as a lot of college athletes are. Me and my classmates of the 2020 class I was in, so my freshman and sophomore year, we always ate at the dining hall, right? So you kind of ate whatever was there, and whether that was pop or like chicken burgers, French fries, all that stuff was there for you. And if it was there, you were going to eat it. And I mean, I was a kid in college, right? So I could burn it off, no problem. We practice 2.5 hours a day, and then we work out for an hour. And so eating that kind of food was no problem. And once I got into pro, I really learned how to kind of dial in my diet and make sure that it's not necessarily the bad things that you eat. It's eating the proper foods that give you the strength and power to, you know, go out and play, you know, two games Friday and Saturday, or play 4 or 5 games in a week, right? So, and it's a learning process, and I still don't know what's perfect for my body, and I don't think I ever will, but it's just trying new things that help me kind of make sure that I'm at the top of my game at all times, and whether that's recovery or getting ready for games or practices or whatever it is. And especially now, like, I've really had to come up with different ways to kind of balance my caloric intake, since there isn't a whole lot of energy output being put out there, right? So obviously there's little challenges in that and tweaking my diet and stuff like that. And but no, I mean, I find it fun. I mean, diet's a huge part of your life. And if you can, for myself, if I can focus in on that and make sure that I'm, you know, putting all my attention and effort into that, then I'm giving myself a good chance to be my best self every day, essentially. So
this is awesome. Zach Whitecloud is on with us. Vegas Golden Knights. We'll close on the final couple of topics. We'll go back to TV for a second. So you said Chernobyl. You said Ballers. Adam, do you want to make the pitch for Love is Blind?
I mean, it's a fantastic show. And I think as a Bachelor fan, you might get into it very quickly.
Have you heard of the show, Zach?
Yeah, I have heard of it, but I haven't made my way onto it yet. I don't know if I'm really... I don't know if I'm into that or not. I don't know if I would be, and I'm afraid if I give it a shot, I'm going to get hooked. And I'm trying to go one TV show at a time and kind of finish that. And I'm on season 5 of Ballers right now. I started at season 1, I think it was 2 days ago. So
wow.
So I'm kind of trekking through it pretty good.
Nice. Here's the correct answer if you're into it. Yes, you are. Take my advice. I'm pushing 50. I started watching Love is Blind, and there's a lot of thoughts you'll have about people, but it's a great relationship show, and there's some messes on there. Highly recommend. Like, if Adam Hill told you to watch it, ignore it, because he's way too into reality shows. The fact that I'm telling you, and I'm a normal human being, Love is Blind is nice. It's real nice. Especially if
all right, I'll throw her on the list.
Yeah, please. Please do. All right, Zach. Well, we appreciate you helping us kill some time. I hope we killed some time for you, and stay healthy, and God almighty, I hope you're back on the ice soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Again, thanks for having me on, and take care and be safe, you guys, and to everyone out there, all the Vegas fans and everyone else in the world, just be safe and do your part to help keep everyone else safe, and all the best.
Good deal. Thanks, you go. Man. Zach Whitecloud, Vegas Golden Knights. I think the biggest message out of that, stop taking all the toilet paper.
Yes, good message.
He sounded like he was a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's being very cautious, very, very responsible with his messaging there. That's good. That's good for everybody to know. I think if we tell you, nobody cares. If a Golden Knight tells you, people will listen.
I was so close to ruining Love is Blind for everyone. And him.
Give it away?
Like, I was like going to mention like 14 things that I had.
You just got through it last night.
It's tremendous.
It only took 3 weeks of me obsessing over it for Steve to get on board.
And then I watched it in like 3 days.
Yeah. Just like The Office. We told you for 6 years to watch The Office. You finally did.
And I banged it out.
Yeah.
They're doing another Love is Blind, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Not with the same people.
Well,
of course.
They're going to give us a wider, pun intended,
my
wider
problem.
Sampling of people, right?
That was my biggest problem with the show, Steve.
We need...
messes.
We need more physical oddities.
Yes.
And that includes us.
We need messes. Because they were all at least somewhat attractive.
Yes.
To where you wouldn't walk out of the pod, be in love with somebody, and be like, oh,
what?
Right.
Right? Because that's the premise, is you blindly fall in love with someone.
You talk to somebody for hours and hours and hours and then decide if you want to marry them. And then you come out and you're like, what do they look like? And there was no complete disasters. We want disasters on the show.
Yeah. I mean, the women on the show?
All attractive.
All smashable.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only drawback of the show to me. I want, as you said, oddities.
Short, fat.
Well,
nerds.
Mark was short.
Slow.
Mark was short.
I mean, he's a good-looking guy, though. How short was he? 5'6"?
He's 5'7"? He's fairly short. He's shorter than her. She's not very tall.
Messica.
Yeah, Messica is a Jessica, great character.
Messica. She grew on me as the show went along.
She's not that bad.
I got a better understanding of her. This will have to be a tease for Monday. Because if we have Stormy on in our normal Monday spot, that's going to be all about Love is Blind.
She's all in.
I have so many opinions.
We have traded some 4 a.m. texts.
Wow. What a show. Spot today with member of the Vegas Golden Knights, brought to you by Insperity for employee benefits and full-service HR support. Visit Insperity.com. All right, we're now a couple of days past Brady leaving the Patriots. What is Belichick's plan at quarterback? We heard today at least one report saying, I think the biggest name guy who's actually worth a long-term deal, the Pats aren't interested in him? Really? At quarterback? You've got nothing right now.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company.
Corona, oh, Corona. That pulled up to my city like Aloha, yeah. Quarantine, yeah.
Like National quarantine. Ravioli Day. Got that virus. Hard to celebrate if you can't get ravioli. Yeah. A great pasta shortage with this coronavirus. We got a tweet.
We did.
We got a tweet from a joint. I'm not going to mention them. I will if I get my pasta on Saturday. Place said, did I hear correctly? You couldn't find pasta at the store. Come on down. Show you more pasta than you could ever imagine.
Wow.
This is like...
I can imagine a lot of pasta, so that's a lofty standard.
This is like Willy Wonka for me.
Oh, you're
in the chocolate factory.
You were giddy during the break.
I was so happy. But there's two different accounts for this place. This one was tweeted from the one that doesn't... It just has kind of the egg.
Yeah.
There is another Twitter account. I believe it. I'm in like 90%. But is there a chance in hard times that I could be lured and just beaten up and robbed?
Maybe. But it wouldn't be the place if...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is that it could just be someone running a fake account.
Right, but then they would lure you to somewhere else. They wouldn't actually lure you to the main store.
Well, it seems like a good location, though. I mean, it sounds like a legit place, and they have pasta, so I'm a fat ass. I might go down there, roll in, literally, and just get billy clubbed.
Whoever's running that account, tweet from the other account, but just DM you.
Yeah.
DM Steve from the other account.
There's one guy on the show who's clearly prepped for the apocalypse, so I'll bring him along. And he's also chubby, and he'll want pasta too. And I'm sure he's going stir crazy at home.
Ryan.
Big Mac will be in the passenger seat.
No question. And he'll be your protection.
Does this pasta place have roux?
He's the muscle.
Do they have ingredients for some roux? R-U-E, as Ryan McKinnell spelled it the other day when he was professing what a cooking expert he is, what a chef.
They said they have 50,000 pounds of pasta.
Let's go.
That's a lot. They're clearly still listening, so
yeah,
we got the update.
And yes, Governor Sisolak, this is essential.
By the way,
yes.
Should I throw breaking news in because we just got a clarification?
Okay.
Involving Governor Sisolak.
Okay.
Dispensaries now... non-essential. However,
medical,
they can deliver.
They can deliver.
Yes.
Wow.
So
they're not essential.
Apparently not.
Liquor stores?
I haven't seen any ruling on that yet.
Can we get some clarity on liquor stores? Because I'm going through a lot of beer right now.
I'm gonna go buy a bunch right now, right after the show.
Yeah. One of my radio friends was talking about having upwards of like $2,000 now in liquor. Like, it really needs to self-medicate.
Yeah.
Because at home's getting crazy.
It's true. I'm in now. I didn't buy any because I don't usually drink. I'm in. It's end times.
All bets are off.
It's end times. Let's go. Yeah, like, what are we doing?
You're back, baby.
Yeah, what are we doing?
He's drinking again.
What are we doing?
Well, the good news is you won't go on the freaking on a bender.
I got to
drive down to some casino to find it, which happened a couple
anywhere.
Of times.
Can't go anywhere.
That was in the old days when he was a little more fun or less responsible.
More fun.
Yeah. I'll tell you, there was one time, drunk Adam he's tough.
True.
Because you get in a zone. There was one time I was summoned to try to get you out of a casino because you were playing poker for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I can't even describe what it was like talking to you.
It's fun.
No, it wasn't.
It is fun.
And then to try to move you, and you were probably like 100 pounds heavier then, I'm like, this is an impossibility.
It's not going to happen. I'm very determined.
Well, good. You'll be determined to not move. And be all hammered at home.
Sure. What are we holding on to at this point?
There's hope. There's hope. Although I will say, I saw a tweet from one Laura Ingraham a couple of minutes ago, who was saying Americans need to know a date when this will end.
What?
Uncertainty for businesses, parents, and kids is just not sustainable. I understand that sucks.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Just arbitrarily name an end? And then it comes and goes. Like, what's the point?
So Governor Sisolak's order did have an end date today,
right?
April 16th. But
I guess you can do that. But then a week before, you're probably going to have to extend it.
But and that's the issue here. If you are out there saying, "What's the end? When does this end? When can we go back to work?" And then they give you a date, and then it gets close, and they're like, "Yeah, not yet." Then you're going to be mad about that. You said it was this date because you made me give a date. Like, what are you talking? Nobody knows when the date is. Like, this is normal now, not forever. But I would say, like, in your mind, so I was having a conversation with somebody last night that was like, shouldn't you know you're in the media? Like, you find out things. And I was like, no. And the question was, well, what would be your guess? What's your guess of when we can get back to normal? And I was like, mid-July? And she was, like, melting down. I was like,
You told me to guess?
I'm guessing.
That's all I can do.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
Choose Your Fate at 4 is coming up. Your four choices that you could have voted on. You still have a couple of minutes. At Steve Cofield, at ESPN Las Vegas. Anthony Edwards, number one. Imagine video hatred. Kevin Bacon video. Or Dana White says media equals wimps.
Finley Toyota in the Valley Auto Mall has the largest Toyota service facility in Nevada.